Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Thursday. We're live today at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park, Titans training camp, day number 2. D-Mace is out here. Former Titan Brad Hopkins out here, seeing some formers as well in day number 2. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier back at the studio. What's up, JoJo?
Just looking at Derek Mason out here. Kind of a rock star rose out here. Everybody slapping his hand, saying hi to him. He earned it, deserved it.
Part of our team.
Makes us look good. Makes us look a lot better, to be honest with you. So, yeah, here we go. Day 2 of training camp. And we'll continue to play training camp bingo here with the Tennessee Titans. And you know, the word like consistency and continuity and still got to get in shape. You know, the words you hear at every training camp. So
the buzzwords.
Yeah, we heard him yesterday. So we'll keep going with that. But it was a good interview with Tony Pollard yesterday about him coming over. And, you know, I thought it was interesting about, you know, the Derrick Henry thing. You know, he's like, hey, I'm not here to replace Derrick Henry. I'm here just to win football games and help this team go forward. I thought it was kind of neat.
Yeah, well, and I mean, look, that was the right answer for sure. I mean, it's the only answer you can give,
right,
is I'm here to be Tony Pollard, and that's exactly why they signed him. They want him to be Tony Pollard. They don't need him to be Derrick Henry. But we're live once again. They're getting things underway. They're stretching right now and just let the general media in.
Yeah, the peasants.
It's so funny. It's like opening the gate, and you just see them.
There they come.
Just cattle coming in.
It's reminiscent of a scene from The Walking Dead.
Hey, you were a part of that for a long time.
For a long time. I'm still a part of that. So.
You are. But, you know, we got early access because we got to set up here and do the show and all of that. 10 o'clock today, this is going to be a lot of fun. You know, we like to do things a little different here on the Chasing Big Joe show.
Yeah.
And there's a reason we're having this person on. But I'm excited. You're excited. Lieutenant Dan.
Ooh.
Gary Sinise will join us at 10 o'clock today.
Yeah, so it's 30 years since Forrest Gump, and this weekend the Opry is honoring 30 years of Forrest Gump, and they're going to play a lot of songs. The soundtrack is fantastic to that movie. So Gary Sinise is being honored over there at the
and he's got a band, the Lieutenant Dan Band.
Yeah, and they're playing Saturday, so a big weekend for him. And so, I mean, his foundation, how he's not won a Nobel Peace Prize or any of the big honors – he's very, very, very unselfish in his dedication to veterans and to servicemen and women of this country and what he does. I think he's built 90 adaptive homes for service members that have been wounded in combat. And he lives here in Franklin, and he's just a good man. And that foundation does some amazing work. And I've never met him. I don't know if you have.
I haven't either.
And so we're looking forward to that, too. And he's, one to say, he's very, very humble and he's very gracious. So we'll look forward to him at 10 o'clock today. So that's our question of the day.
Okay.
Our question of the day is, and we're at Titans training camp. We'll talk a lot of sports today. That's fine. Our question today is, how many times do you think you have seen Forrest Gump? And
ooh,
if you've never seen it, why? I'm curious on both ends. How many times do you think you have seen Forrest Gump? And if you've never seen it, why? I in 30 years, I bet you I've seen that movie 250 times. And so, that's not a joke.
So you remember back in the day, was it PG? It was it rated R or PG-13?
I'm thinking PG-13.
Back in the day, like if you were with your parents, they didn't really check too much, you know, with movies. I saw it in the theater way before I probably should have. But it had so much. I mean, look, culturally, it was Tom Hanks and the cultural significance of it and, you know, the history and everything. So that, I mean, that was 94. I mean, I've seen that movie at least 10 times in my life. I mean, it's one of those that if it's on TV and I'm scrolling through, like, I'll watch it.
Yeah. I mean, of course, you were what, 8 when it came out?
Yeah.
So to you, you know, I was 26 when it came out, I think. And so I was
7 when it came out.
7 when you came out. So that's why I've seen it so many times. But so that's our question, 615-737-1025. In honor of Gary Sinise joining us at 10 o'clock today on The People Show, The Chase and Big Joe Show.
So looking forward to that. And our question of the day, how many times have you watched or seen Forrest Gump?
Yeah.
We will do that.
If you haven't seen it, I'm curious.
I want to know why. Yeah. I mean, like I was joking with Connor and David from our staff that are here today. I was like, you two have seen Forrest Gump, right? Because if not, I'm going to need you to go home and watch it right now.
Right.
That should be required viewing. Like, I remember when I first met Ryan Porth, he had never seen A Few Good Men. I'm like, huh?
Yeah,
Like, how have you never seen that movie? It's a fantastic movie.
Well, and I love the argument, too. Young people are like, well, I never saw that. Hey, I never saw the Beatles.
Right.
But I know who they are, and I went, and, you know, you can find them on YouTube and all that stuff there. But anyway, we'll have a lot of fun with that today. I want to start off with you with the Jeffrey Simmons thing yesterday, because we love drama, right? We love drama. We're not involved in it.
We're a fan of drama.
So the drama yesterday with Jeffrey Simmons and our boy Stillman, I guess Simmons completely ignored him. Did he even answer the question yesterday?
No, he ignored it. Yeah, he completely ignored it. I think we have that audio. So basically what this was Stillman was trying to ask about Jeffrey Simmons had posted on Twitter a couple weeks ago, mad at somebody in the Titans media, and whether it was Jared or Paul or somebody, you know, and Jared tried to ask about it. Do we have that, Dr. Crane?
Yes, sir, we do.
All right, this was the exchange.
When you think of Twitter, you a couple weeks ago had some criticism for us.
Not speaking on that. I'm moving on.
There you go. He's moving on.
Oh, man.
So here's my thing. Like,
a much ado about nothing. I love it.
And Jared took it a step further yesterday because, like, before that, Jeffrey was asked about, you know, being a leader on the team and all that. And he said, like, this is my team. Like I've ascended into that role. It's a role that I want and all of that. And so Jared kind of took it a step further, like, well, you're going to say that, but then you're going to post this stuff on Twitter, and then when you get asked about it, you don't want to talk about it.
Right.
Jared called him a phony. Now, you know, I mean, I think that.
What, during the press conference?
No, like on the air.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I kind of look at it as, at the end of the day, Twitter doesn't matter. I think Jeffrey Simmons is a leader. I think Jeffrey Simmons is a really good player. I think he knows he needs to take a step forward this year and have a better year. It's not about, you know, people focus on the sack numbers, and that's not necessarily all it is for me with him, because he's going to create opportunities and be double teamed and allow the quarterback to, you know, another player to get to the quarterback. So I think it's more than just, you know, there's underlying numbers that you got to look at with Jeffrey Simmons. But I do agree that it's like, if you're going to tweet something.
And what was the tweet again? It was basically
like, you know, they all act like our friend and then, you know, they hate us and stuff like that. It's like, if you're going to tweet something like that, you should be prepared to answer.
Absolutely.
Answer about
whatever answer you want to give is fine, but be prepared to answer.
And like, there was something, you know, where he allegedly spit on somebody, and he was asked about that, and he was like, I'm not speaking on it. Like, he always wants to do, I'm not going to speak on that. And it's like, okay, well, dude, you're being accused of something. We're giving you an opportunity to
good point.
Clear your name. And so it's like, my this kind of goes back to A.J. Brown. My suggestion is just go ahead and stay off Twitter.
Yeah, especially during the season. Go ahead.
Pick what you're going to do. Are you going to – because, like, we all know this when guys are like, we don't listen to the noise. You hear it, though. You don't have to listen to it, but you hear it.
Right.
And so, you know, if you're gonna engage and you're not going to like something, then you need to be prepared to talk about it.
Yeah. And then, you know, this Twitter thing, social media, has only hit the guy, you know, this generation since 08, 09, and 10 right there. This was not something part of the 80s and 90s. You could say something and you'd be asked about it, but it would not be out there for, you know, in perpetuity like your tweet is or
sure.
some kind of Instagram post. So be prepared for that. And I get that you're going to ask questions and good, you know, he didn't answer it. That's fine. But, you know, I'm not going to give a lot of praise to Jared Stillman, but good for him for asking that question and then moving on with it. So,
yeah,
that's all settled. I know I wasn't going to do this, but I read that Mason Rudolph was like perfect yesterday. I'm sorry, I didn't want to bring the, you know, 8 for 8 or whatever, but I heard he was pinpoint with his passes. Don't hate me.
So,
don't hate me.
On day one of Titans training camp, I need Dr. Crane. I need a drop here from our friend Stephen A. Because this is how I feel.
Right.
This is how I feel about Mason Rudolph or Will Levis or anyone's performance on day one of Titans training camp.
I'm here to tell you right now, we don't care.
Let me tell you,
we don't care.
It's the first day.
I deserve that. But, you know, if he would have been like 1 for 12 with 3 interceptions, we'd talk about it. We would talk about it. So you tell me we wouldn't talk about that?
I would give you the same answer. I would be
and
like,
that is
it's
what?
The first day. I don't care.
Hit it, Dr. Crane.
I'm here to tell you right now, we don't care.
Let me tell you,
we don't care.
It's the first day, man. It's the first day.
I love that.
Like, they're not even wearing pads. They're out here in shorts and basically a T-shirt.
Oh, man.
But, I mean, like, it just
– oh, gosh.
Next week when the pads are on and they're doing 7-on-7 or 11-on-11 and he goes – you know, if he goes 3 for 10 with 3 picks, then okay.
Yeah, I'll all accent right. the positive
yeah,
on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
What's up, Ryan?
We'll talk.
See you, buddy.
You know, we'll talk then. But on day one of Titans training camp when they're just out there trying to learn the playbook –
okay,
I'm not really that concerned.
So, you know, it's weird not seeing Derrick Henry out here. You know what else is weird not seeing out here? And because I paid so much attention to him because he went to MTSU, Kevin Byard.
Yeah. No, that – well, I looked over yesterday and, you know, we said it and saw number 31. And I was like, man, like that.
There's two 31s out here, too.
Oh, yeah. There's 31 on offense and defense. Keaton Ellis is a safety. Jabari Small from Tennessee, running back wearing 31 as well on offense.
And you can see there's no 22 out here. It's,
no, and there shouldn't be. But and there's not going ground? To be. But, yeah, so it look, it's a change. I mean, it's a transition. You know, that era is over, the Vrabel era, Robinson era is over. You know, I remember it from a different perspective because I was – just a fan at that point, you know, I wasn't in media yet, but like the day that, you know, the McNair Eddie, that era ended was really when Floyd had to lock McNair out.
And yeah.
You knew it was done, but Eddie had already been traded, but it was like the good old days are gone. D Mace was gone. Kevin Carter, Samari Roll, like that team was done.
Yeah, that was after the 04 season.
And so that was the first time that we had to experience what that was like. And so now, you know, and it took him a while to kind of get to the next era. Well, now the Tannehill, Henry, Vrabel, Robinson era is over.
Yeah.
And a new one begins. Now, how quickly will that new one truly take off? Time will tell.
Yep, like the old from the movie Godfather, man. It's not personal; it's business. Guys just come in and come go and get out of here and leave, and other guys replace them. You know, Derek and Mason and I were talking last week about players in the league and how somebody got, I forget what team it was, somebody got brought in. I was like, you know, Derek, what was it like going to work every day knowing that they're always trying to replace you?
Yeah.
He's like, you know what? Yeah, he goes, and sometimes you have to push that out of your mind during camp because you get worried. Man, if I hurt my calf here, if I hurt my foot here, or if I slip and fall and have an ACL, it's not going to be good. You got to push that all out and go out and play. I mean, they love you. The team loves you. But the same fact, they're always trying to replace you. It's nowhere more evident than in the National Football League.
615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Practice underway here at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park. Day number two of Titans training camp as we're live today. And we'll discuss more of that. Also have a player join us after practice. Gary Sinise at 10 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
As a team, as an offense, what do you guys need to accomplish in camp to feel good about yourself?
I think develop consistency and being able to go out there and not just put one good period together, but we know that it's going to be competitive and that the defense will have their periods, but in terms of just operation and procedure, getting in and out of the huddle and getting people lined up correctly and just the different mechanisms of the plays running on a consistent basis is going to be the biggest thing for us. We had our spurts of that throughout the spring, and it was our first time obviously going through the offense, so Callie made a point yesterday just with how fast he ripped through all the installs. It's expected that we know this stuff, so we can kind of breeze through it faster and put in a lot more stuff on a daily basis. And guys are expected to go out there on their stuff and know this. So it was good to see today that I felt really good about, you know, how we operated. Obviously, it's the base stuff. It's only going to get more complicated from here. So we just look forward to continuing to improve there.
Yesterday after practice number one, little Doobie Brothers bringing us back from the Forrest Gump soundtrack.
That's right, buddy.
In honor of Gary Sinise at 10 o'clock. So I went over after we were done with the show. I walked over to the, you know, where the media was, and I listened to some of Will Levis. And I got to tell you, and again, it's day one of training camp, and, you know, I'm not going to put too much or whatever into that. But I have been impressed by him because, you know, you've seen players or, you know, quarterbacks specifically over the years that – they'll sit there and they'll say all the right things, but then do the complete opposite. To me, he seems very genuine in, you know, how grateful he is for the opportunity. Jim Wyatt in the house. How grateful he is for the opportunity. You know, how much he feels like he knows he needs to step up and live up to this role and being the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. I'm impressed with him, you know, from that standpoint. Whether it all works out or not, yeah, we'll see. But he at least fits the part to me. That, like, he's – you can tell he's a good dude. You can tell he's a genuine dude. Like, the – you know, I know there were – Jared was talking about this yesterday, that some people were concerned, like, you know, when he was going through the draft process, that he's a little more just look at me, look at me. He doesn't seem like that at all.
No, I agree. That's a good point with that being said. Now, go back to the quarterbacks the Titans have had. They've got it. We knew McNair was a leader. I mean, he proved himself. So there was that all that aura about Steve. When he talked, you listened because he earned that right. So then you go after that. You got Kerry Collins, you know, and Vince. Nah, there was never that really like, this is my team. Locker certainly didn't have that.
No. Nope.
I think Locker was blinded by the headlights the whole time, and he was still fighting with Matt Hasselbeck for a starting job. And it really unfair to Locker, and the lockout came in 2011. So then you kind of fast forward to Mariota in 2015. Nice guy, absolutely not a leader. And, you know, he was even questioned about that by some teammates. Like, you know, there's some leadership thing there that maybe he should do this more, do that more. Tannehill kind of embraced that role a little bit,
yeah,
once he got comp, which was fantastic. I love the moxie that Will Levis is showing, like, we're going to ride or die with my teammates, and we're going to go this together. Follow me, and we're going to get it done. And I like it. Do you want a quarterback who does that? Or do you want to say, yeah, we're trying to get a little bit better today. You know,
yeah,
I'm not sure
right.
What's going on. No, I like the moxie that Will Levis has. Again, I think he's going to be fine. I know there's a small sample size, but look, he played behind one of the worst offensive lines I've ever seen in the NFL. Certainly the worst offensive line that they've been here since maybe 2004, 2012. So to do all that, he went through the fire. Now, he's got to grow this year.
Yeah.
I think the window chasing now for a quarterback, 2 years.
Agreed.
It used to be three. Now it's two. If he doesn't get it done this year, he's gone. You look, we talk a lot about Aikman in 89 was terrible. Manning in 98, awful. The next year, a 180. They became great quarterbacks. Hopefully you see that from Will Levis.
Well, and speaking of the offensive line, Titans first-round pick J.C. Latham will join us after practice today. So looking forward to talking to him.
All right, now.
Yep. So he'll be our guest today.
Have you seen his thighs?
He's huge.
He's like Hans and Franz. He's got the huge thighs. I mean, they're huge. And, again, he's my guy. I'm going to tell him. He's my guy that I hope he makes all-pro this year.
Yeah. So he'll join us after practice today. Looking forward to that. But, no, and look, to your point, quarterbacks have 2 years because coaches have 2 years. Coaches and GMs don't have very long to get it right.
Right. No, not anymore.
And like, you look at this situation. Now, Brian Callahan can go, well, that wasn't my guy. So he gets a little bit of a pass there, but it was Rand Carthon's guy.
It was.
So, you know, the clock starts ticking there. You know, we speculated last year, was Levis' success connected to Vrabel's success? Ultimately, the answer to that, I guess, was no, because there was, I mean, half a season.
Yeah.
But, you know, Amy Adams Strunk used that as reason. Like, we have a quarterback, and we didn't feel like that philosophies matched up, yada, yada, yada. I think a little speech in New England probably played a role in that. But,
yep.
Yeah, you know, so, but that's the thing. Like, Brian Callahan has to go into this knowing, okay, I got to make it work with Will Levis. And Will Levis goes into this knowing, I got to make it work with Brian Callahan. I think it can. I think this offense fits him because it's a similar offense to what he ran that, you know, 1 year at Kentucky that he had such a good year.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, college to the NFL is different, but that's the hope. But, you know, how he carries himself so far, I've been very impressed with.
Well,
I mean, and I wonder, too, if that year or at least half a year – backing up Ryan Tannehill, because you mentioned the leadership qualities of Tannehill, how beneficial that was to him.
And not only that, but remember the first part of last year, all through camp, first part of the season 2023, Will Levis took second team snaps. He did not take starter reps.
He took third team snaps at times.
Okay, exactly. Yeah. Even worse. So now he's taking first team. He's had a whole offseason to get it done. And I think Callahan's talked about, you know, it was Callahan. I don't think he was forced to talk about Will Levis being his guy during the summer, that interview that he had. I don't think because I think Callahan's a guy I'd been like, I don't talk about something else. But I think that he feels like he could guide this team, lead this team. Because, look, you've heard great offensive coordinators say, that quarterback is a reflection of how I wanted to play the game. And I think Callahan likes Will Levis. That's him out there, how he can run the game and run this football team. And we'll see. I mean, it's like you said. We laugh about the practice and preseason and the preseason games and this and that. But game one, I mean, you've got to come out of the gates firing. It's the Bears up there and see what you can happen. He's got the weapons. He's got a rebuild offensive line mostly. And he's got really good leadership quality in this football team. So I think it's an exciting time to watch this for the Titans.
So I try not to – you mentioned that first game. And I've tried not to put too much into one game.
Do it.
But I think I am. We'll discuss that. And much more coming up next. You can weigh in, too, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That is our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're live today, Titans training camp, Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park, 1025, 1063, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game, here on this Thursday, Titans training camp. The Forrest Gump soundtrack, Gary Sinise joining us at 10 o'clock. This was, they're in Nam on the helicopters, right? Such a cool scene.
Oh, it's a great scene.
With that guitar and John Fogerty. Again, you mentioned the soundtrack. Soundtrack's fantastic.
It is. Our question of the day, a fun question of the day is, how many times have you seen Forrest Gump? And if you've never seen it, I'm curious just why you have not seen Forrest Gump when you've had 30 years to do so. But it's not an indictment on you. Some don't like it. I just want to know why.
How could you not like it? That's the thing.
I don't know. I read the book. The book was odd.
I've never. Yeah,
but
I haven't read
but the book. Funny, and how they were able to turn that into an amazing movie. Well, I mean, it's easy because of all the great dialogue and the cast of characters with Tom Hanks and
Well,
Robin,
I think,
right?
So think about this. Think about if they had done that movie today with the technology we have, because, you know, they used all the old film clips and, you know, early days of CGI to you know, have the interaction of, like, Richard Nixon and different, you know, different presidents.
He's shaking, if you don't know, I mean, it's like he's shaking Kennedy's hand.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. And, the, you know, they had Elvis. You know, Elvis was in it early in the movies. Like, taught teaching him how to dance and stuff like that. But talking about the Titans here at training camp, and, you know, you've brought up how important that first game is against the Bears. And I've thought about this more and more, that I really do believe that you know, you're, I mean, it's not going to shape the whole season necessarily, but I think if they can somehow go to Chicago and win that game, and start the year off 1-0, how much of a difference that can make for this Titans team. Because you're getting Caleb Williams at the right time in his first game. All the pressure that goes into that, being the number one overall pick. You're playing at Soldier Field, historic franchise in the Bears. There's a fan base that's just starving for a good football team. And so there's going to be all that hype there. And you can go in and play spoiler.
Yeah. I mean, you want to get,
like,
Caleb Williams.
There should be no pressure on the Titans.
I completely agree. You want to play Caleb Williams week one as opposed to week 12.
Yeah.
You're on the road. We talked the other day about this, about the Bears being home. They're going to be so hyped and so just excited that I think even more pressure because they are at home. Look, Titans go up there, play your game, bring all kind of pressure against Caleb Williams, execute your game plan, get out of there with a win. And come home, sit at 1-0. You come back here 1-0. You got Aaron Rodgers coming here in week two, off the short week.
Yeah,
the city will lose its mind because they are, and this is all of us, whether you're Titans fan or not, for the city, are wanting, desperately wanting a championship team here. And if you start out, and winning is a big part of it, obviously. You start out 1-0. You come home. Aaron Rodgers is here. Their second game on the road, short week for them because they play Monday Night Football. I mean, it sets up perfectly.
And I have no idea what they are. I mean, like, on paper, the Jets should be, with Rodgers, but even the team around Rodgers, they should be better than they were last year. But, you know, with everything with Rodgers, you just never know.
Yeah, and I was reading yesterday how teammates are not publicly saying this, but don't like him.
Yeah.
Don't like him. So, I mean, it sets up great for the team, but all the focus should be on the Bears right now. Everything you do is getting ready for it should be getting ready for the Bears right now.
100%. So we're kind of looking across here. What is this, the defensive line that we're watching?
I can't tell.
Yeah, they got everything on the far field. So, you know, we're sitting here.
Interior guys are now jogging across the field over there.
How's Sweat look today? He was huffing and puffing a little bit yesterday.
Well, who
it's first
be?
Day. I get it. He's a big boy.
Huffing and puffing.
Be like, I mean, you remember Jim Washburn liked it when they threw up.
Loved it.
Like he tried to make them throw up.
I tell the story. Jim Washburn's the only coach I've ever seen a professional football player cry under that goalpost that I'm pointing at by the Titans bubble over there.
Yep.
Former Tennessee player, may he rest in peace, Jesse Mahalona, and Washburn. I mean, I almost started crying, and I wasn't even involved in it. I mean, it was – and Jim talked about it. He's like, that guy had talent. He just had to realize he had talent.
Yeah.
And it was my job to bring that talent out somehow, some way. And Jesse had a few good moments. He didn't really live up to the talent with Jim Washburn thought he had. But it was, you know, look, if your feelings getting hurt because a coach is yelling at you, you're in the wrong sport, man.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
100%. It's a tough sport. But, you know, as we've talked about with Jeff Fisher from time to time, that it's changed so much. I mean, the mindset of players has just changed, and how you coach them has changed. But,
Now what? The lockout was after the 2010 season. So, it's 11-24. So that's now 14 seasons that the lockout has been in place. I mean, the new collective bargaining agreement's been in place. And I miss the days of, you know, David Stewart, the right tackle, he'd fight your mom.
Yeah.
I mean, those were fun practices out here to watch that. I mean, these guys were just going at each other.
What was crazy about those days is you had Michael Roos on one side, David Stewart, Big Country, on the other side, and they were both kind of quiet. Like Rooster especially, they called him Rooster, but he was especially kind of quiet, but like like you said, they'd rip your head off.
Yeah. I mean, think of that offensive line during that time. You had those two guys bookends. You had Kevin White center.
Yeah.
You had Eugene Amano at a guard. You had Jake Scott at a guard.
Yep.
And so, that was a good offensive line. They didn't run their mouth. They performed. They played the game. They were great. They had Leroy Harris. Thank you, who got drafted, who came in and was serviceable. So, I mean, you had – and look, that team was good because that offensive line was good. Of course, having Chris Johnson – and, you know, they had no receivers on that team in 07 and 08 and still got the job done and a great defense, too, as well. So is this team the same? Not at all, but it's got potential to be. It really does.
Yeah, it does for sure. They added a piece that I'm curious about, and I didn't really make a big deal about it because I'm like, man, he's hurt all the time. What's he really going to do? But then I heard Jamal Adams speak yesterday, and it's like, again, here's somebody that's been humbled. The league will humble you.
Yeah.
And this is somebody that's been humbled, and he talked about his injuries and that there were points he was in a wheelchair, he couldn't walk, you know, and everything he's battled back. How much can he help the Titans? He was asked if he's the same player that he was 2 years ago. Here's what he had to say.
Same player now that you were before all that?
I think so. I think it's just a process of getting back. It's a process of learning myself, of knowing my body, knowing my assignments, coming out here and flying around the ball, timing up different blitzes and things like that, in that nature. I'm just excited for, you know, the opportunity to get back. You know, we'll see.
Look, I got to see a lot for me to say, hey, that's the Jamal Adams that I remember. That's the Jamal Adams that, you know, before all the injuries, kind of slowed him down. That's the Jamal Adams I remember from LSU. Like a lot has to happen for that. But if you get, you know, something out of him, like even as a role player, like not necessarily a starter, but if you get that, I mean, it's a low risk, high reward signing.
I love it. I mean, it's, yeah. And if he could turn into something more than that, fantastic. Good for him.
And sure. Like, I'm not expecting him to come out here and be an all-pro and be, you know, truly replace Kevin Byard.
Right. But maybe, you know, maybe there's a guy who can emerge in this camp under Denard Wilson, defensive coordinator's leadership and tutelage, who could stand out that maybe we didn't think about before. I mean, that's the point of this camp, and that's why we talked yesterday, why this camp is a little bit more interesting than the ones before, because there's so many open positions and so many questions that still need to be answered. And that's what camp is for.
It's Kuz. There's no questions with Kuz.
He's a handsome man right there.
A legend.
Absolutely.
Legend in this town.
Seen it all. He's part of the Paul Koharski, Hope Hines kerfuffle in the locker room, standing next to me.
Kerfuffle.
Right there with me during that time.
So practice is underway here at St. Thomas Sports Park, as they're scattered all over the three fields. If you've never been out here before, basically they have the bubble that everybody talks about, but they have three outdoor fields, and so you got different position groups that are working on different fields.
Where'd the stands go?
They even had them they did.
Are they going to bring them out here in maybe in a week or so?
I don't think so. I don't think they've had them the last couple of years, actually, because of all the construction and everything. They just have people stand, you know, they'll rope it off.
Okay.
So
maybe an open practice over at they can't do anything at Nissan. You can't, because Kenny Chesney's there next weekend.
Well, they're doing something Saturday.
Okay. Then that must be the last part. And then concert.
So I think they're doing it. Kenny Chesney's next weekend?
Next weekend.
That's crazy.
Yeah. We got third row.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
You were able to.
Yep. I have us, me, you, and Ricky, and
Dr. Crane. Yep.
I have an appointment at 2:00 at Boot Barn on Saturday downtown to get brush popper shirts.
Nice.
And kind of like all dress the same.
Okay.
So we don't lose each other.
Is Coach bringing the limo?
He could.
Yeah.
So we're good.
We should talk to him about that before he has to go to practice and everything.
Be fantastic.
I assume white cowboy hats are the attire.
I'm going to be kind of the bad guy, wear the black cowboy hat right now.
But you do, you do you.
One guy, you got to have one bad boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Dr. Crane, you already got your cowboy hat, right?
Yeah, you're ready to go.
It's a suede cowboy hat. It's kind of nice.
What'd you pay? Did you get it off Amazon?
Yeah, I paid like $15. That was not bad. Nice quality.
That's even better, man. That's even better. Good.
That is a good one. We'll have more shenanigans out here at Titans practice in just a few. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Sounds take on Charlotte. Pregame at 6:20 with Jeff Hem. First pitch at 6:35, also with Jeff Hem. Coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app, 94.9thefan.com. Sounds Baseball is presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, Cottle Vet Clinic, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.
You know the day destroys the night.
Game Summer Ticket Tour presented by Green River Whiskey is back. You can join this man right here, Big Joe, at MJ Sports Bar and Grill, 1253 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro. Today, he'll be out there from 4 to 6, and he'll give away tickets to upcoming concerts in Nashville, including Bush, Train, Dirk Bentley, and more. You can also get signed up for the grand prize, tickets to a Preds home game, Sounds game, and the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. For more details, just head to thegamenashville.com/tour. Green River Distilling Company, Owensboro, Kentucky. Alcohol volume varies by product. Please drink responsibly. Back today at Titans training camp, chasing Big Joe, Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park. Titans are underway. And, you know, right in front of us, we just we get to watch the kickers. Kickers and punters.
Hey, Callahan knows how to torture me. Only thing good about this, I get to watch the long snapper, which is, I mean.
Near and dear to your heart.
They are. Yeah, it's a vital position. So to see that, and meanwhile, what was that?
The mic was open.
Oh, the other mic was open. Sucker under attack.
I thought one of y'all fell out of your chair or something.
It was just a piece of paper flying over the mic. Wow.
Oh,
I ducked under the desk here just for that. No, all the oh man, all the actions on the other side of the football field over there.
Yeah.
Shocker. But they didn't do this even when Fish was here. They didn't do on this side of the field. It's always all on the other far side of the field over there.
But Fisher would let you know, at least watch. Fisher would be like, hey, don't film this. Yeah. Okay, we're on a trick play.
Yeah, turn your camera around. So we knew what to do and all that. Now it's like you got 8 minutes to, but, fans.
But every coach is like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're all that way.
Yeah. And, not poor, pitiful media. I understand that. But. You just don't get a lot of video of guys here and there. And that's why you rip them off the website of Titans.com because you get plenty of stuff that goes on there. So,
100%. Jeffrey Simmons talked about Tavondre Sweat yesterday. We saw Tavondre Sweat out here working out. Obviously, big boy. Let's see. What's he officially listed at on our roster
6'4", 366.
Yeah, and I think he's every bit of that, if not more. And look, it was, it wasn't too hot, but he was huffing and puffing a little bit, which, again, you said you kind of like seeing that.
Yes.
He's a rookie, but I expect big things from him. I really do. And, when I saw him walk by, I said, holy cow, that's a big boy.
It is. And let's get this conditioning thing out of the way. We've talked to John McClain about the great story about Earl Campbell. Earl Campbell couldn't run a mile, and after practice, the media was like, hey, Bum Phillips, Earl had problem on, getting his mile run in. And Bum Phillips said, well, when it's third and a mile, I'm not going to give him the football. Such a great quote. So you're not asking, Tavondre Sweat to be out there every single play, going both ways, running sprints. His goal, he needs to be as good in the fourth quarter as he is in the first. That's the bottom line.
And I'm sure that's what the coaches are coaching him on, of like, hey, let's work up to this. Let's, make sure you're good when we really need you the most. And that's what you hope for. So, we're talking about the game against the Bears. If you don't see a lot of him early in the game, maybe that's by design.
I talked to Trevor Maddich about this when I filled in for Jared a few weeks ago about how Jimmy Johnson with the Hurricanes, when he coached there in the mid-80s, they had a two-tier system. So you would see four guys on the first kind of number ones go in. Then the next series, you'd see four different guys on the defensive line go in. And it alternated that way, and these guys stayed. And he carried that same kind of attitude to the Cowboys when he did it there. I mean, remember Tony Casillas would come in one series, do great, and it was like, why is he not in there? Oh, he's resting and going on and on and on. So, yeah, by design, just when you're in there, make sure everybody knows you're in the game. I mean, disrupt as much as you can in the middle. And if Simmons and Sweat against that Bears team, Chase, are firing at all cylinders in that first quarter where the Bears can't do anything, you're going to force Caleb Williams to throw the entire time, then you're going to win that ball game. You're going to win the game because you take that running game out. When the running game we've talked about is a quarterback's best friend, when that's gone, it's you versus all 11 now.
So when you look at the team and how, you know, everybody they brought in, now we know how this works. There's going to be some probably guys that get brought in off the street and join at some point during training camp. But how many? Like, do you think that whatever the first depth chart ends up being with the, especially the defense, that that ends up being what they roll out there on week one? Or do you still think there's a couple of additions to be made?
Man, there, yeah, I mean, if there's one or two players out there that you think can further your program and push this team to get the wins and help out, good. Just don't go out and get guys because you think anything else. They've got to be coming here and know what's going on. And then, you know, it takes a while to adapt to get to things. Well, Kerry Collins came in 2006. He came in, I think.
It was late.
Well, like a week out before the season started in 2006. And because that was the whole with Billy Volek and Fisher and that drama that went on. So I think, yeah, I mean, there's going to be. Once you have the cuts, right, final cuts, Labor Day weekend, there's always a couple of guys out there you'll kick the can on or kick the tires on, whatever you call it, and then you'll bring them in here. But nobody that I could remember, Chase, that came in that late really had a massive impact on the team. Is there one? There might be one, but nobody
comes
to mind.
I mean, well, I guess it was early in training camp. Who's the guy you don't like?
Vaccaro.
Yeah, Kenny Vaccaro.
Came in here, ran his mouth, and then got Lamar Jackson, ran past him. He's like, I'm not going to talk any more questions. Bah, bah, bah. And like, shut up.
Well, I know Jamal Adams was asked yesterday, Nick, I think we have this on Quadre Diggs, his former teammate in Seattle, and he basically said he's recruiting him. And look, they still need safety help, and Diggs' name has been mentioned potentially coming to the team. Do we have that, Nick?
Yes, one moment.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, I put you on the spot there. You're doing great. We're all proud of you. We're all counting on you. But yeah, Jamal, I mean, he was flat out asked about Quadre Diggs. This was the answer.
Stay in touch with Quandre Diggs much?
Yeah, we talk every day, man. Every day. You know, obviously, you know, I'm the type, and he knows me. We've known each other for so long, since we were kids, and I'm not going to, you know, push him to come here. Obviously, I would love for him to be here. But, you know, he has to figure out his process, you know, on his own, and he will eventually. I know there's so many teams looking at him, and hopefully we get him.
I would love – I mean, look, I'd take Quandre Diggs to help. I mean, at this point, you take any help you can get in the at that safety spot. Play with Seattle, Detroit before that. He's 31 years old.
So why is he not in camp now?
Look, the safety market was an interesting one. I mean, you got Justin Simmons, you got Diggs. I mean, there's a few others. Jamal Adams, it took a while. You know, we're still out there. I think they were asking for too much.
Right.
And so now there's some guys that are just still out there waiting. But, I mean, I think by the time the season starts, you know, they'll be signed somewhere.
Then they got to come in. Then they got to get rid of the defense and on. That's why I really hope somebody emerges on this training camp for the Titans at that safety position and not to worry about it. I really hope. And, look.
I would still add Diggs. I would take
you're not
Diggs.
Denard Wilson, so you won't do anything. Denard Wilson can do what he wants.
I'll walk over there right now and say, hey, go sign Quandre Diggs.
I think they know. I think they might have a little diamond in the rough over there, and they'll
get. Ooh, name names. Who's your diamond in the rough?
Kyle Eaton, is that his name? It's got number 31.
Okay.
Keaton Ellis. That's
okay.
The guy.
Okay.
Better than Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan. I want to forget. What about the 14 running back? Nobody cares. Nobody cares. During camp, we talked about it.
I'm surprised you didn't say this. What about Matt Jackson?
I don't think he's a safety. He's never played safety before. He was a linebacker.
Then why is he listed as a safety?
That's a great question. Maybe he's not big enough to play inside linebacker. I don't know. That's a great question. But obviously he did something last year good that they put him on the team as an undrafted free agent. I would love to see Matt Jackson, Hillsborough High guy, local guy, get on the field. I would love to see that. Maybe he does. I just don't think he's safety material because I don't think he's ever played the position before.
Coming up next, a really cool interview. Gary Sinise, better known as Lieutenant Dan from Forrest Gump. The Gary Sinise Foundation in town this weekend. They'll be raising money for a good cause. We'll tell you more about that and what he's doing coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.